Shine like a star.
Shine like a star.
Shine like a star.
It's the Shine Like a Star podcast.
Shining light on today's tastemakers
and innovators.
Keep it with your host, Christopher Boykin.
It's the Shine Like a Star podcast.
SLS podcast, powered by Stardom Media. Chris Boykin here. We live, man. We got a very, very, very special audio for you guys today. Thank y'all for tuning in. I got my friend on the phone. This gentleman is doing major things, and today is a very important message. I want you guys to listen closely. Listen with your ears. Listen with your heart. Cam, what's going on, my brother?
How you doing, man? All is well.
Yeah. Talk to me, man. How's life treating you this pandemic thing and anything like that? How's your status? Everything good at home front?
All is well, man. Blessings upon blessings. Without knowing what blessings are, they come and they go. And it's been unraveling a lot of things through the pandemic as it exposed a lot of new things and exposed a lot of old things that weren't really getting the exposure.
Speaking of exposure, man, what's some things that, and we're going to zone in. We're waiting for Mr. David Allen to call us, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to zone in. But Cam, you just said something that was key to kind of register exposure and exposing things in these difficult times, these unprecedented times. What are some things that you set back and notice or even witness and kind of like really took its toll on you and made you open your eyes and kind of readjust? Anything out there in society that you think the people should open their eyes to?
Well, definitely. The biggest thing was the consistent failure in the system brought to a global level. You know, we've always had here in America the constant failure of the system, failing humanity and human beings in this country. And with this pandemic and this massive contradiction in society, we were able to get on a whole nother level of exposure, of failure of a system that was created by a particular agenda that not only has failed several times, has failed so long, and now it's getting a nice opportunity, you know, with a lot of the stuff that's just happened so random in a sense of, of my lifespan. You know, I've never witnessed certain things and I've never been a part of anything and it's happened in my lifetime. So I was able to get a new understanding of what this world is and how limited we are by the same entities that are setting up a system for our failure. It's like we're almost born in a system set to fail. And, you know, that's the expense that we pay as a people for another, you know, group that is reaping the rewards. Like even the biggest, contradiction, with the pandemic and lockdowns and shutdowns, all the wealth transferred from the, average Joe or the average people to the richer people who are already rich, who didn't really even get, impacted by the pandemic like we get impacted. So it gave a whole new, sense to our responsibilities to ourselves and not to be part of a system. But the argument that we need to, change, we need to reset the system. We need a new system. That's it.
Wow. So a whole new system in itself, because obviously the system wasn't built for us in the first place.
Right. And it's definitely a failing system because it can't even perform properly. How many protests does it take? These protests aren't new. They killed Malcolm X. They killed Martin Luther King. How many times does a black community or any kind of, community that's not conformed to submission to the other groups, how many times do they got to get killed and protests got to happen and more people get killed and more people get hurt, and it's the same thing. There's no change. It's like, how they say, you're insane if you run into the wall so many times and you think it's going to be different outlook.
Wow. Is there some solutions that we can at least explore something new? Do you see something new that we can at least explore that at least open the door for new ways, new opportunities, new systems, new way of life?
Well, what I did absorb was that technology, because of the pandemic, putting people into positions where they have to become more, interactive with the technology. And I think what ended up happening with particular situations where the dominant factors are now no longer in control because technology has empowered people so much that now we have the ability and the responsibility to not go do a protest and shut down a city and burn down our own neighborhoods, but go and create programs and technologies that's going to separate us from the system that is, you know, built to oppress us.
Wow. It's funny. I just had a conversation with my wife earlier. I said, you know, this technology has really boomed, and it seems like it's just running the world right now. And I think a lot of people are, I think with the pandemic exposed, one of the things to piggyback on what you were just saying is, if you're not in tune knowing how to use technology, technology will use you. Of course, there's some people out there doing ridiculous things with it, but the messaging is very important right now in these times. And I think that's basically what you're hitting on as well. And I'm understanding while listening to you.
Yeah. Well, we already have historical, you know, precedent in our communities that media is the most powerful tool. And it's been the tool that's been used against us. So with the ones who have been oppressing us with these medias, well, the accessibility has now flipped the script on them and gave us all the same abilities only if we decide to separate ourselves from their, you know, their brainwashing and say, okay, we understand that there's a media blitz out here that's causing us to hate each other and not work with each other. So they're winning. But if we say, okay, I'm going to stop hating everybody and I'm going to look for ways to increase the peace and love amongst, you know, if not amongst everybody, amongst as many as I can, well, it's over. Their technology is no longer valid. They're no longer working. And if we take that same technology that's very accessible and start using that same tool with the same media, we're going to be able to deliver the right message and connect humanity and uplift humanity in a way that has not been done. You know, save a Noah's Ark, you know, world flood, you know, that's the only way that we're able to, you know, change the mainstream then. And the mainstream that's here now is not new. This is the Roman way. This is what happened in Rome. And if you look at history, just like Rome went up, it also went down. And how all that happened, it's the same pattern. It's the same pattern. It's beautiful. Like, it's beautiful in the sense that you can see it. It's not beautiful to watch people suffer and watch people lose and watch people get hurt. But, you know, those are certain factors in life that are our means. A lion's got to eat the antelope. You know, that's just part of the life, right? But, you know, until then, we have, you know, the watering hole that we can all go to, we can all drink from, we can all eat, and there's nobody, you know, no drama, no trauma.
Wow. And I think what I've seen, too, that got exposed, too, is how clearly the media has been, certain media conglomerates. That's why it's so important that we do our own and we create our own. And like you said, the messaging has to be a different kind of message and not this nonsense that we see on television that, you know, literally brainwashes some people, creates fear, creates division, creates poverty, all kinds of trauma. It's the same stuff. And I think what's refreshing, if for the ones who are woke, you can really do your work through the media. And the media is, like you said, a huge part of why things is the way it is. And I say that to say, is that one of the reasons why BBU Global was created? Did you see something back in the past? Can you give me the inspiration behind that conglomerate?
Absolutely. So BBU Global, you know, BBU is a bigger, better universe. So many people in this world and such a big universe. But yet, even, you know, even if we were to build a movement and we had 100 million people, there's still 6.9 billion, you know, people that are not even being reached, you know. So we understand there's different levels and different universes that we're in tune in. Like right now, me and you were talking on the phone, and right now somebody's locked down in a federal prison. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's a different universe. It's a different, it's almost a different planet, but we're really on the same planet. So when we came with the BBU movement, we said, okay, how can we create something out of nothing? And technology gets the answer. Technology said, here, use this technology and create more and more. And so we started with the BBU movement. You know, we started doing our little, little demonstration, putting ideas together, and technology fell in our lap. You know, technology, you know, for the longest time in media, it was the hardest thing to get into media because everybody had it so wrapped up. It was so sewed up. If you didn't sell your soul to the devil, you weren't going down that yellow brick road. Mm. Well, now we got, you know, you click a button and you worldwide, you live, you everywhere.
Wow.
That's the technology that we need. Now, imagine if Malcolm X had his own Instagram and he went live.
Brother, wow. That is a great point. I think you pinpointed that precisely. I think, my goodness, I literally envisioned that as you speaking that. That's powerful. And so we on some special times, man. And you said something that's very, very key. Just imagine. So we all have an obligation. We all have duty. We all have opportunity. It's what we're doing with it. We can sit back and watch and be into tune and turn into their channel, or you can turn into your channel and live into the purpose, man. So I really appreciate how you broke that down. That really made a lot of sense.
Yes, sir. And that's our goal. We're our biggest goal is to create a new mainstream that's for the independent without being in any way submissive, like where we have to submit to any kind of established, you know, discriminate bylaws. That's what they call them. They call them bylaws. They call them corporate structures. They call them tax brackets. They call them governments. And they're all the same thing. You know, one of the things about studying the communities of minorities in the United States was what really blew me away was leadership and development of communities started in, let's say, for example, Chicago, let's say the black communities, right?
Okay.
And these cops, all they did was arrest all the leaders, take all their leadership and try to turn it into a police force. And now the biggest gang task or the biggest gang is the PD. You know what I mean? They don't pull up on you with, you know, a couple of homies. They pull up on you with an army tank. But they move like gangsters. They don't move. They don't care about you. They don't care that they got their knee on their neck, on your neck. They don't care that you can't breathe. They don't care that you're disabled. They don't care that your arm is broke. They slam you on the ground.
Wow.
That's gang. That's violence. You know what I'm saying? And then, so now you make a movie, movie, call it The Hood, and call it Gangbangers. And they say, oh, they're killing each other, and this is how gang life is. No, it's not gang life. It's called society and environments. And when you put people in concrete jungles, how are they supposed to act? Meanwhile, you send your gang members overseas and kill poor people and take their wealth and take their all their environment and call yourself a hero.
Wow.
How come it is that we have bad credit and we can't go get a loan or refinance our bad credit because we got a low credit score, but yet the government can raise the debt ceiling another $2 trillion, $3 trillion, $6 trillion. They can just keep raising the debt ceiling. How come they don't got a bad credit score? They ain't made a payment in 100 years. And I'm not trying to inspire any kind of, you know, confusion. Oh, the government is bad. Oh, this. No, the government has done a lot of good things for a lot of good people.
Okay.
But it's failed also. So what that tells us is the system that's being used to govern us as human beings that is established by us for us is failing. We need a new system. And how can we get a new system? We gotta innovate. Just like technology is innovating, it's teaching us human beings how to innovate, to create new things. And, you know, in the back in the days, you know, you'd have great leaders, you'd have great kings or great generals or great people who do great things, but that would be so short-lived because evil would come behind it and move in.
Wow. When the
Greek used to learn from the North African leadership, and they used to study under them the science, that was good times, right? But as soon as they learned all that science and all of that good stuff, they murdered everybody and took it and made their own and called it their own and called it a new golden era or the gold rush. What is this? This is hypocrisy. But this is the system. You know, this is the evil. Evil is not, you know, particular to one group of people. Evil is evil. It's always been a positive and a negative. It's always been a male bird and a female bird, a male lion, a female lion. It's always been one or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got a hybrid evil today through technology media that's been growing and brewing for the last 100 years. And I mean, really, you could even go back to eras where they didn't have technology, but they used media, which was the, you know, the poetry and the different stuff to either, you know, ignite people for war or to oppress people and have people, you know, sing songs of depression and keep everybody around them depressed. The deception.
Complete deception. Wow. How do we protect in these times also? You mentioned these evil oppression, you know, these people, these things.
I got the Duke on the line right now.
Okay, perfect.
An inmate at a federal prison. This call is being recorded and is subject to monitoring. Hang up to decline the call or to accept, dial 5 now. If you wish.
What's up, brother? We're live on the radio right now program. Chris is on the line with us. Chris, this is David Allen, the Duke from New Jersey. This is my brother, my partner. This is who inspired me as a human being, meeting him in prison myself and, you know, coming home and knowing what I needed to do as a man. And I just wanted to share that because, you know, BBU, this is the founder of BBU and the inspiration that has led for what we're developing today.
Good afternoon, Chris. How you doing? Good evening.
I'm good. Oh, man, it's a good world, man. It's a good day. It's good hearing your voice, brother. How you been, man?
Oh, as you know, I'm maintaining, man. Not too much to complain about. I'm alive. I'm blessed. So, you know, I'm here.
Yeah. We've just, me and Ken was just building. We get right to it about the BBU movement, man, and the whole creation of it and what it stands for, the mission, the purpose. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Our purpose is just two brothers that came together from different ways of life, man. You know, same struggle, trying to understand how to get past the struggle and provide a better life for those we love and for ourselves. And, you know, BBU Global is just bigger, better universe. We're just trying to provide a bigger platform on all levels, you know, so we can reach every type of environment, you know, diverse adversity, you know, communities, and just try to help them provide a, you know, a platform for them as well as a voice for them, you know?
Yes, sir. Cam, me and Cam was just building on the technology, the booming era, you know, back in the day, 20, 40 years ago, bro, it was completely different. What do you see right now that's going on in the world from a technology standpoint, from a global standpoint, from your perspective?
From my perspective, man, I don't think people taking advantage of the technology that's been. I think people misusing it and using it for their own personal agenda, man, and which they are. So many of them are, and BBU Global is just trying to do things differently. And provide an avenue for the community, man. So, you know, to uplift just not ourselves, but the community as well. Just to do things differently, you know, because using technology today as a tool, as a weapon, and we just trying to provide a means of understanding and of existence for people like us, especially for people in my situation that's been incarcerated for the last 20 plus years for a crime he didn't do. We need our voices to be heard among society who's not listening. They rather listen to all the other the chatter that makes no sense, you know?
And that's the power of media that I was telling you about, how they got everybody bamboozled and make them, you know, forget where they're from. And that's why, you know, it's very important that even 7 years after I left prison, I'm in tune with my brother and I'm always working with him because he inspired me and I'm carrying the torch until he's home with me. You know what I'm saying? So we could both carry the torch that was already brought to us by our ancestors and it's been sitting here with nobody picking it up really and you know, making something out of it.
And what I appreciate about Cam even more is that he did go home and he did stick to the script and he was a man of his word, you know, which so many people go home from these situations and never look back. That wasn't wow. him. And I appreciate and love him for that.
Yes, sir. What are some of the things that you guys collectively, we as the people can look forward to from you guys? What are some projects or some things or some discussions that you can share with us that you'd like to foresee in the future?
Well, what we got right now, excuse me, brother, real quick. I just want to go ahead and start it off for you. But what we got right now is that radio station where we're bringing tools that are already established and that are already present. Like I was saying, it's easy access now. So we established a radio station that's global. We got over 2,000 listeners worldwide. And that's how we know the struggle isn't just in one neighborhood. The struggle isn't just in one hood. The struggle and the suffering is worldwide. And we can't just say, oh, okay, let's just worry about our block, because that's always being selfish as well. So like my brother said, we're not here to be selfish. We're here to use our time that we have on earth to create a legacy for all the world to find a new change and a new way through the same media that's been oppressing us as all races, all colors. Everywhere in the world, you will find somebody oppressed by the same strategic, you know, Hollywood delusion. And we're here to break that. Mainstream has always had their feet on the neck of everybody until Unlimited, you know, No Limit came, and No Limit said, nah, we don't want that deal. Then Baby came with the Cash Money Records, $30 million deal. You know what I'm saying? Imagine if they gave that to the Temptation. Where would they be if they gave them $30 million signature? You know what I mean?
Wow. That's a great point.
And we're basically two brothers, man, that just come together, man, trying to make a difference. You know, and if we can make a difference for ourselves, we can make a difference for the communities that of people that's just like us, that's going through the pain and the struggles just like us. You know, and I can't complain. Like I said, I'm blessed, and I can't complain. I'm behind the wall, and I'm doing things that people should be doing out there in the real world.
Right.
Talk, bro. So, talk.
You know, so with this habit, so it's nothing that. Nobody can tell me anything differently, you know, because the same way I'm providing the means and the ways and the resources, the same way they can do it themselves. And at the same time, we're going to make it a little easy and accessible for them.
Let me ask and you part of, both here. Go ahead, Cam.
And part of that I wanted to add is the real core part of it is that, you know, the Duke, he's sitting in prison, in federal prison, for a crime he ain't do, and he's got to go through a failed system that can't get him anywhere or anything heard, and no one's going to talk about it unless we start talking about it. Now watch, we start talking about it, now everybody else want to talk about their problem, you know what I'm saying? And the Duke always taught me, you know what I'm saying, don't wait until it's you. Don't wait until you're the one, and now you're screaming, oh, he's got his knee on my neck. Don't wait until that. If that brother's got a knee on his neck, get that knee off his neck.
It's the same with all the police brutality, you know, the senseless crimes in the streets. It goes along those stages where you wait until it happened to you. Then you start crying wolf. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so you need to be a part of the solution now, and don't wait till it fall upon your doorstep to want to say something about a situation that has yet to exist on your end.
Wow, perfectly stated. What do we need to see more of? What are some of the solutions that we can do more of now, and start to take some action? You know, do you guys foresee any action plans or anything that we need more of?
We need to do what we're supposed to do as men, responsibility amongst all men for humanity in general, and the rest will follow. You know, Tut, my brother out in Jersey, he told me straight up, we do our part, the rest, and they will follow, you know? And that's what we got to do.
And Tut is one of the brothers that's out there in Newark, New Jersey, running and stomping the streets for his new direction. It's a new direction movement. It's a new direction movement that the brothers out there trying to eliminate as much violence as possible and support those on the streets that having, you know, that has been with experiencing the struggle for so long, whatever pain they're going through, whatever financial problems they may be experiencing. You know, we're trying to provide those avenues to eliminate as much stress and pain that people was going through these days. We're just trying to eliminate all that type of stuff and minimize the violence as much as possible. We can't stop it all. We'll be a fool to try to stop it all, but we can minimize it as much as possible.
Wow.
We don't have to be that sister that's been for over the last 20-plus years. You know, people just dying for senseless acts of nonsense.
And here's the biggest thing about that whole new direction, brother. The biggest thing about New Direction and BBU and all our efforts, we're getting supported by people in prison when the free public is so bamboozled that they can't even see in front of their face their own image.
Wow.
You know, David Allen, he's a support. He's doing 25 years for a crime he didn't do, and he ain't complaining, man. He of course he should complain. Of course he should have a feeling about it. But he's taking it like a man and knowing what society we're in, and he's dealing with it, but at least he's giving back. He's inspiring the youth. Until this day, from the moment they took him off the street until this day, he's inspiring generations to grow up and not fall victim to the same system.
The fight is the continuation. You just can't lay down and allow these people to do whatever they want, because we come from where we come from, you know. Some of us non-educated, some of us educated, too educated, to the point that they can't see, they don't know if they're coming or going. You understand what I'm saying? So some people are just too smart for themselves. So, but at the end of the day, you know, I refuse to lay down. I refuse to accept what, you know, these people have done to me. So, you know, until my story is fully out there and people understand what's going on, what have been going on for so many years, not just with me, but so many other individuals, you know, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay right here in your face and stay right here in your ear. I'm going to say the things that you need to hear. If you don't like it, then, you know, change the station.
That's right.
Now, Mr. Allen, you also an author, man. We got an upcoming urban book coming up, Royal Bloodiness.
Yes, sir. I got a fictional novel coming out.
This call is from a federal prison.
It's going to be like a trilogy. The Duke and Bishop, Royal Bloodlines Part 1. It's about two brothers, you know, that has witnessed the struggle, has seen the struggle. It's just taking the whole novel aspect of writing on a whole nother level, because it's levels to it. And I don't want you to compare my book to another book, you know what I'm saying? Because you can never compare me to another individual. So I don't want my material to be compared to anything other than what you read is what you see.
So that book is
I want to blow people's minds. I just want to provide something different to the world. Because I am a different human being.
And that book is
David
coming
Allen.
Out. When can we expect that?
So we waiting. Right now we're just in the process of finishing the touches, the book cover. So by the beginning of the next year, this book will be out for the readers. It's been a long time. It'll be out for the readers and all the little platforms you can get a book from. That's where I'm going. That's where I plan to be.
Perfectly.
And we're
going to
look
for. Anyone elaborate?
We're going to look forward to Stardom Magazine doing a feature on the book. See, I got a chance to read some of this book. I was with this brother, you know what I'm saying, hand in hand.
Yeah.
And this book is, the one thing that I peeped about it is the story that's being told is not being told by another man, but it's being told by the right man. And he's giving the story the right way. And that's the difference when you read this story versus you read somebody writing a book, like they do all these documentaries and books like they was in the hood, but they never really was. They just talked to a few people, wrote a script, called it a day. You know, this guy grew up from, I'm talking about from the concretes of Newark, New Jersey. You know what I'm saying? That's a concrete place. You know, people talk about that from other states and say that's the worst place in America. Now, how do you expect a guy to go be born in that situation? And then you expect him to, what do you expect him to do? He's got to survive. He survives. Then when he survives, you want to imprison him for something he didn't do because you want to make a record for yourself, while the same people that are making records for themselves have more corruption than the mafia.
Oh. Wow.
So you get that? When you got an author like that.
That stuff ain't being told, you know. Just let me just give you this understanding.
Yes, sir.
I'm in a federal penitentiary, and I'm a state inmate.
With no federal case.
I don't have no federal time.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
Let that sink in a little bit to you, you know. I'm a federal inmate. I'm a state inmate being held in a federal institution. No federal time.
In a max penitentiary at that. Not even in a median.
The phone is about to cut off, man, and hopefully, Chris, you and I, we can continue on with this support system, man. And you
yes,
and,
sir.
And I'll speak to you again, man. It has definitely been a pleasure, though.
I appreciate you, bro. And like I said, you and our hearts and prayers and minds. Stardom got you, bro.
And I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. The man himself. The inspiration.
Wow. Cam, I felt that, brother.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that one more time, brother? I felt that. I'm sorry, man. I literally closed my eyes when he said that, brother.
He's the man himself. He's a state inmate. So, you know, he's been incarcerated in state prison. That's where he's supposed to be. And they got him sitting in Florence, Colorado Federal Penitentiary. They got him with federal inmates. He's not even a federal inmate.
Wow.
For a crime he didn't even do. You would think that if the system was functioning properly, they wouldn't have a problem housing him in New Jersey. They got the whole state. Nope. They got to get him out of there.
They had to get him out of there.
Just like every other black leader that was in American history ever making a change in the black economics or in the black Wall Street or in any black family or in any black community, first thing they do is take them out. How? Anything. Call them a terrorist. Call them an extremist. Call them a fundamentalist. Put all the labels you want on them. That's called branding. That's media marketing. They brand them what they want, then they ice them, and then it's okay because now the government's trying to protect us from, you know, dangerous people. That's the night, you know, the story plays out.
Yeah, yeah. The good old gang, the good old boys, the same thing.
Right, yeah, gang, you know, that's where it comes from. You know, these guys, you know, if you look at police like 20 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, they were a little preppy. Now they're coming out tatted, you know what I'm saying, thugged out, you know what I'm saying, wearing timber boots, you know what I'm saying, pulling up on you, talking about what you're doing on my block. And can you imagine the trauma that a person has to go through when they experience this on a daily basis? I mean, at what point, you know, one of the arguments I had, I just want to bring this up because this is one of my favorite points when these people say, oh, you don't deserve reparations. And I agree with them. I agree that no black person in America deserves reparation for what their ancestors did to their ancestors. But you know what we deserve? We would deserve all the interest and all the profit gains that were made off the back of every African American, black, Asian, every slave that they brought here, all those big farms that we built and we housed and we made for you, just give us our profit and gain. You can keep the land, just give us the profit and gain, the family wealth, the generational wealth that you've used and lived off of. Yeah, keep the tax dollars. We don't want even the taxes. Just give us the profit and gain that you took off the backs of all the immigrants and all the slaves, everyone that you've made your riches off, give us that.
Wow.
And I'd love to see how they argue that because, you know, they're always saying, oh, I never did it. My ancestors did it, but I didn't do anything. Well, you haven't been homeless. You don't have a drug-infested territory. You don't have crime in your neighborhood. Obviously, there's a lot of money there. Whose money is that? It's not yours, it's your ancestors, right? And you didn't do it, it was your ancestor. So maybe we should take your ancestors' money and give it to our, you know, our generations.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just on the phone with Mr. David Allen. If y'all tuning in, thank y'all for tuning in. That was a real real intense conversation. This brother's spirit is still up due to the unforeseen circumstances. I mean, I don't know what to say or what better example
we need from an inspirational point on the outside, and this man is on the inside, basically behind these walls, and he's giving you something, these intangible true jewels, and he's dropping this information on us. People, we need to wake up, you know what I mean? We need to wake up, and we need to take action, and we need to take advantage and tap in, because like I said, things out here is not looking in our favor. And to piggyback on what Mr. Cam is talking about right now, the time is real, man. The time is real. It's real times right now. Yeah, Cam, man, I appreciate that, bro, man. Anything else that you want to share, or you could speak for Mr. Allen, any people in particular that you want to or he would want to give thanks to for supporting him, appreciate any organizations, people, and family members or whoever that really – was stuck by his side, because you know how it go. When you're behind a wall, some people leave you, and you can
protect people.
That, you know, you feel what I'm saying? So, can you share some nuggets on that?
Yeah. See, the thing about Mr. Allen, David the Duke Allen from Newark, New Jersey, is the whole state loves him, and that's I think the most you know, when we wanna correlate it to why he's in federal prison as a state inmate, because everybody loves the man. You know what I'm saying? Have you, you know, like when you get an actual chance to get a real perspective of who he is, man, this guy was born in the worst conditions and made the best things happen for so many people that they love him. And, you know, he wow. And the Duke always, when we talk, you know, he always shows, you know, always shows love and gratitude to everybody, all his brothers and sisters out from all over New Jersey and all over the states, really, because he's nationwide. This man is loved nationwide. So many people have heard his story. So many people have heard about him. I mean, the man is a victim of more than circumstances.
Mm. Wow. Any last words you want to share about BBU's audience, fans, for the listeners who are tuning in, things we can look forward to, any last words you want to share, social media platforms, anything of that nature, for us to stay connected to you?
Absolutely. Our handle is BBU Global everywhere we are. Anywhere on any platform you go, it's always BBU Global. BBU is the way that we moving forward with it. The one thing I want to do is show I want to thank you, sir, and I want to make sure that, you know, we do appreciate you taking the time to even entertain us and to support us. You know, this is part of the cycle that we want to break. This is why we as a media publishing company wanted to come onto your platform, and we wanted to talk to you, because we need to talk to each other and we need to work with each other, and it's not about you and it's not about me, it's about us. So it's always about us. That's what BBU is. And that's why we don't hesitate, and we're not shy to go on anybody's platform or give anybody the spotlight, because, you know, everyone will have their time. You know, it's not the selfishness needs to stop, and we can't tell you to stop it if we're not demonstrating it. So we want to thank you very much for having us on and giving my brother, the Duke, a chance to actually get his voice on another network and on another platform.
Yes, sir. With that being said, likewise, Cam. You know, man, this is the beginning of a beautiful relationship. We love what you guys are doing. We in your corner, Stardom Magazine, SLS Podcast Network, man. We appreciate the opportunity for you to build with us. And ladies and gentlemen, definitely at the end of this podcast, you'll hear the links, website, other information that's going to be in the credits listed in this episode. Thank y'all for tuning in one more time. And like I said, keep shining your light like a star, man. And we need the people, man. So this is a good message. We hope you enjoyed it, and we out.
You're listening to SLS Podcast with Christopher Boykin. Be sure to subscribe and download this episode and continue to listen to SLS on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.